Just checking the sound. Is it coming through? Okay. Let's just all take a moment together to just settle in, coming into your sitting posture, releasing whatever you were doing before this moment, letting yourself fully arrive right here, right now. Maybe there can be a settling into the body, feeling the sit bones. Perhaps just noticing a few in-breaths and out-breaths. Knowing that the connection with this body and the sensations of the body is a doorway into here and now, present moment experience. Mindfulness of this moment, right here, right now. As I was walking here this afternoon from the teacher village, really noticing what a big difference from yesterday. Yesterday it was just a snowstorm, basically. So cold and windy, a lot of unpleasant feeling tone, unpleasant vedana for this being. And then today walking here, feeling the sun, even feeling a little bit of the warmth of the sun, just so much beauty and a lot of pleasant experience, a lot of pleasant feeling tone arose inside of me. So everything changes so quickly, you know, from one day to the next, from one moment to the next. And what's really amazing about noticing impermanence and the fact that everything is changing and everything ends, comes to an end, is the preciousness of what is beautiful. So a day like today, it feels so precious, at least for this being, in comparison to something that happened yesterday. So the beauty of it really stands out, also because there's a knowing that this day will also come to an end. The sunshine today will transform into maybe another windstorm or gray skies. So there's a certain connection with the preciousness of life, the preciousness of experience that can happen by really noticing and being with impermanence. So yesterday, Tara was talking about how over time, mindfulness and metta actually comes together. And over time, it can be really hard to distinguish when does mindfulness end and when does metta begin? When does metta end and when does mindfulness begin? It almost is like it becomes one experience. That when we bring mindfulness to our experience, it also has a metta quality. And when there's metta meeting our experience, it also has a mindfulness quality. And one image that I really found helpful to describe this coming together of mindfulness and metta has been actually the image of the sun. So the sun shines a light, like today, you know, it shines a light on everything and everything is very clear. You can see everything very clearly in the light of the sun. And that's like the quality of mindfulness, shining a light on our experience, and we see things very clearly in a very crisp way. But the sun also has this quality of warmth to it, right? So there's the clarity of mindfulness, but it also has this nice, beautiful warmth to it. And in some ways, I think about that warmth as the quality of metta. So if you can, I don't know if any of you have been outside today, but that might be a nice visceral experience of being in the sun and seeing the clear light, but also just feeling the warmth of the sun on your body. And in some ways, this coming together of metta and mindfulness is a great support for our practice. Because again, the mindfulness shines a light on all the ways we get entangled, all the ways that all of us have suffering states. And the mindfulness can see that with clarity and can also sometimes see how we get entangled and what releases the tangle. So that's the quality of mindfulness. And then metta supports that process, because when there's a tangle in our mind, we get really upset about something, or as Bonnie was talking about yesterday, her mind was in having this papancha, this going on and on about this experience at her retreat. Then with the quality of metta, that can actually support us in releasing that tangle. So Bonnie talked yesterday about the cringing. I can't remember what words she used, but she talked about when she saw in her own mind that her mind was reactive. It had some patterns of anger or upset. Her reaction to that was being a little bit disappointed with herself. But the way Bonnie talked about it yesterday was actually with a lot of warmth and a lot of humor. So I thought, okay, you know, she's actually a really good role model for how she's holding even her cringing, even her reactivity. So there's some experience she's having, there's a reaction to it, but then there's this metta quality of being able to hold it with some humor, some lightness, some kindness. Like, this is what my mind does. And that's what all our minds does. We probably know this, all of us. You know, it's not personal. These are the human minds that we all experience on a daily basis. So Tara talked yesterday about that this quality of metta is an unconditional friendliness. And what does it mean that something has an unconditional friendliness? Well, it means that there's no preferences in the friendliness. It's not saying this being is better than this being, or this mind state is better than another mind state. That unconditional friendliness actually can hold all beings with equal care, and it also can hold all parts of our own experience with equal care. It doesn't say, you know, I only like Christina when she's like this. She can't be like this. When there's metta in this mind, metta can actually hold all parts of Christina with equal care, with equal friendliness. So that's also why we start with metta for self, because when we can hold our own experience with equal care, without preferencing, without rejecting anything, and when the rejection and preferencing is happening, then we can always step back, like Bonnie said yesterday, then that becomes our practice. Then we step back and then we say, can I just breathe with this? Can I just hold this with kindness? So that we don't abandon any parts of us, we don't exclude any parts of our experience, but we intend to bring friendliness to all of it. So as Tara was also saying yesterday, metta will naturally arise as our practice deepens. Metta will grow as a result of our mindfulness practice. And that makes sense, right? Because as we meet more and more of our experience, you know, we can actually only be with it with this attitude of non-judgmental friendliness. So as we hold more and more of our experience, the metta will grow over time. And it starts to also be able to include all other beings, because we get to see, you know, this being is not different than this being. We all have our patterns, and when we can hold our own being with this friendliness, there's a great chance that I can hold all of you with a great friendliness. So although it arises naturally over time, there is a way that we can work to specifically cultivate metta. And that's the great thing about this practice, because as you might be getting a sense of, this mind actually has a life of its own. This body has a life of its own. This mind has a life of its own. It does its own thing. So in some ways, we have very little control over these conditioned, habitual ways that our mind and body are unfolding. And that's part of what we get to see in practice. But one thing we can work with is our intention, and that's part of what we do with this practice. And we can work with cultivating metta. And that's what we're doing with their faces, by bringing our minds to this intention of cultivating metta again and again and again. Over time, this metta quality can grow and become stronger. But what's really important, as Tara was also pointing to yesterday, metta definitely is not always a warm, fuzzy feeling. So don't be hard on yourself. Don't be disappointed if, while we do this practice, there's not like a big, warm, fuzzy feeling inside. That's totally normal. Actually, there can be a lot of neutral boredom that comes up with this practice, and sometimes even anger. So we also talk about metta practice as a purification practice. As we intend to cultivate this unconditional, boundless kindness, friendliness, it's bound to bring up all the ways that we have places we don't want to go, places we don't want to see, things we don't care for within ourselves or other beings. So the metta, as we grow it and as we build it, it will bring up ways that our love is entangled, the ways that our love is unconditional. And this is true for all of us, or we would be Buddhas already if we had a boundless heart. So it's, again, very normal, very natural. So what's great about the metta practice is that it is an intention. So that's actually what we can work with, is the intention to cultivate metta. And as long as we keep having the intention, then we know we are practicing metta. Then we know we're doing what we can to cultivate this metta by again and again and again having this intention to bring an attitude of friendliness to our own being and to other beings. And so that's why it can be important, just a little practical skill, is that when we say the phrases, see if there's a way that you can say them in a way that you actually can take them in and hear them, so they don't just become automatic rote sentences. But as you say them, if you need to say them a little bit slower, see if you can hear what you're saying, if the words can make sense to you. And that's also why we're going to offer phrases for you, but you may have to work with finding your own phrases that makes more sense to you. The most important is that the phrases are resonating with you and making sense to you. So just before we move into the practice, today I'm going to include compassion. We're going to start with metta, but we're also going to include compassion as one of the other brahmaviharas that Tara was talking about yesterday. And as Tara was explaining, when the metta heart meets suffering, the metta heart automatically responds with compassion and care. And so compassion recognizes suffering within our own beings or within other beings. And compassion, there's a quivering of the heart, and then there's a calling to see if we can relieve that suffering. But this doesn't mean that the urge or the impulse to relieve the suffering comes from a place of reactivity. It's not that we can't stand the pain of suffering, the unpleasant Vedana feeling tone that might be associated with suffering. Actually, compassion can hold all of it without needing to get rid of it, but it's coming from this place of love, this place of care, this place of empathy, this place of, I see the suffering, what can I do to be with it? What can I do to relieve it? So compassion grows as we meet painful experiences inside. The quality of compassion is always bigger than the pain that it's meeting, and that can be helpful when we work with some painful mind states or body states, is to trust that our capacity for compassion is bigger and can hold all of it. So in some ways we can rest back in the trust or in the knowing that the compassionate heart can actually hold whatever pain we might be experiencing. And it actually grows with meeting the pain. And what we get to see is that we have our own personal versions of pain. But we also get to see with time that we have this shared inherent pain, you know, that's not really personal. And that's part of what the Buddha taught us, is teaching us, that we are all have this shared vulnerability because we're all, you know, prone to sickness, to AIDS and death. And this gives us this shared vulnerability. And that's part of what compassion opens to and starts to meet, is our shared vulnerability. And that there's a great relief in that. I don't know if you've had that experience sometimes, that we think we're so alone with what's painful, but then we get to see, okay, there's other people, you know, that have similar challenges. And then the heart can relax because we feel this deeper sense of connection with other beings. And that's another gift of compassion, is that it can take us out of our small version of suffering and into the sense, okay, we're sharing this, we're in the same boat together, different versions, but we're in this together. So that takes us into interconnection. So now I'm going to transition into the actual guidance. And I'm going to offer some different phrases that you can try out along the way. And we'll put them on the board after so that you can go and look at them if that's helpful for you. So settle into a comfortable position. And what's really useful and helpful with this loving kindness practice is actually that the body is feeling comfortable. So taking a moment and taking care of your body right now, that's an act of kindness, and that's really supportive for this practice. So giving yourself permission to move around a little bit, change your posture, stretch, to again bring in this kindness in this embodied way right here, right now. And then just very gradually, slowly coming into the felt sense of the body. Maybe feeling the touch points of sit bones on your cushion. Hands resting in your lap. And then the simple experience of body breathing. Belly rising and falling. Just feeling into the felt sense of the body right here, right now. And maybe just as awareness of body, this mindfulness of the body can already have this tone of metta, like the sun, with the clarity, but also the warmth. So maybe this mindfulness metta, this sun, can support you in relaxing any unnecessary tension you might be holding in the body right now. Not getting rid of anything, but just out of kindness, out of friendliness. Taking a deeper breath. Maybe the shoulders can come down a little bit. Letting the body untangle, settle, as much as is available to you right now. So the proximate cause for metta to arise is seeing the loveliness of beings, to see their lovability. So in bringing metta to self, inviting yourself to see if you can connect with your own lovability. As Tara was teaching yesterday, maybe an image of yourself as a child. If that's supportive. Or maybe you have a good friend and seeing yourself through the eyes of this friend, how do they perceive you? What good qualities do they see in you? So to the best of your ability, connecting with your own preciousness, your own lovable qualities. For some people, it's helpful to actually put a hand over the heart, just as a way to again support this intention of cultivating friendliness towards yourself. So you may check this out and see, is this a support for you? And then offering some phrases that you can try to repeat silently within yourself and seeing if they connect with you. Wishing for yourself, may I be safe. May I be peaceful and happy. May there be health for me. May I be healthy enough. May I live with ease in this world. May I take care of myself with ease. Just getting a sense of how these phrases are connecting with you. Feeling the impact of the intention and the words. Trusting the power of the intention that you have for yourself, for cultivating this metta towards yourself. May I be safe. May I be peaceful and happy. May there be some ease in my body, some health in my body. May I live with ease in this world. And may I take care of myself with ease, with gladness. may be safe. May I be peaceful and happy. May there be some balance and some health in my body. May there be ease in my mind. May there be ease in my heart. May there be ease in my body. May I love myself just the way I am. Not rejecting anything. Not abandoning anything. Letting all parts of myself belong. So knowing these phrases are just offerings for yourself to explore. Where is there this connection? What phrases are supporting you best to cultivate this intention of metta? May I be safe. May I be peaceful and happy. May there be some level of health, well-being, and balance within my body. May I live with ease in this world. May I take care of myself with ease. May I love myself just the way I am. And now a possibility of switching to compassion practice, karuna practice. Checking in with yourself if you want to stay with the metta phrases already offered. Or if you want to try offering compassion to yourself. So the possibility of opening to scanning your experience right now, seeing if there's any places of pain, of suffering, maybe in your body, maybe in your mind. maybe some mental state is painful. Maybe there's physical pain. Or just with your clarity of mindfulness, just noticing that. Noticing that experience. And then if it feels right for you, offering compassion to your own pain, to your own suffering. May I be free from suffering and pain. May I care about my pain. May I hold this pain with compassion. May my pain and sorrow be eased. May there be relief. May my struggles and my difficulties be held in tenderness. May I soften around it. May I care for it. May I bring the warmth of the sun. May I not feel alone or isolated. May I be free from suffering and pain. May I care about this pain that I'm feeling. May I hold myself, my experience with compassion. May my pain and my sorrows be eased. May there be relief. May my struggles and difficulties be held in tenderness. May I not feel alone or isolated. And if this feels like an appropriate and helpful support for you, perhaps expanding this karuna, this compassion awareness, to include all of us here in this room together, knowing that whatever is moving through our mind, whatever is painful, that most of us have our own version of this. So if it feels useful for you, appropriate for you, including all of us in awareness here, may we all be free from suffering and pain. May we care about the pain that we feel. May we be able to hold it with compassion. May our pains and our sorrows be eased. And may our struggles and difficulties be held with tenderness. May we not feel alone or isolated. And now releasing this group from your mind. Maybe you've had images of faces or just a felt sense of this group. Coming back to your own being. And coming back to again, offering metta, offering loving kindness to yourself. May I be safe. May I be peaceful and happy. May there be health. Some health, some well-being inside of my body, inside of my mind. May I live with ease in this world. And may I take care of myself with ease. So we have time, a few minutes for questions, and I'm going to invite Victoria also to support in answering any questions that anyone may have about this practice. Yes.
This practice can bring up very intense emotions for me, and I'm wondering what to do with those. Is this an example of the time to lean into those emotions? Keep the fuels, or add fuels to fire, so to say.
Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense, especially with. So, sure. So, the question was this particular practice can bring up a lot of intense emotions, and is the time now to lean into those emotions, or how to really be with strong emotions that might come up? Yeah. It makes a lot of sense to me that it would evoke strong emotions because, again, just offering this caring compassion, it does tend to invite whatever painful places there might be inside of us. So that makes a lot of sense that it will evoke strong emotions. And the question of whether we should lean into them or what we should do, I think it's always an individual situation. Whether it's skillful, it's, a lot of the time it's about balance, right? So if it gets really, you know, overwhelming and there's a lot of stories that comes up, you know, it might be good to shift the practice into metta or working more with mindfulness and some of the other instructions. So that's my intuition, is that if there's a lot of story that comes up around it, and we lose our capacity to be with it, to feel it without a lot of story, that might be a time to shift into something else. Do you have something to add?
Yeah, a couple of things I'll add. So one thing is you can titrate in. You can go in just a little bit and then come back to something more neutral, maybe the breath or a place in the body that feels neutral. So if you want to do some investigation. And also, if you notice it's like your thing, it's the thing, like the hardest thing in your experience right now, maybe not that. So as we're learning to build the skill of compassion, starting with something a little easier, right? Something that's just a more gentle way to build this muscle of compassion for ourselves and our experience. Then another thing that can be super helpful is, especially if we get flooded and overwhelmed, open your eyes. And you can, you know, look out the window for a moment, ground, and come back. Okay? Okay.
I think we have just time for one more question or response. Yes.
Can you speak a little more to the use of visualization as a tool in this practice, and kind of in what way it might be supportive, and how to know if that's kind of bringing us out of the practice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe Victoria has another input on this, but what I've been taught is that. Oh, sorry. So the question was the use of visualization, and what is the purpose of this, and how do we use it, visualization in this particular practice? And I mean, the way I've been taught it, it's hard to do a visualization of ourselves, but sometimes that image of oneself as a child, again, can bring us into this friendliness towards ourselves. But often when we work with other beings, we do it with an image, with the sense of a portrait of another being, and then with the phrases. And over time, actually, the image and the phrases might come together in a way that really makes sense. So the visualization supports the connection with that particular being, because else it sometimes gets really abstract. And in some ways, the metta or the compassion works best if it connects with a particular being that we're working with. And keeping the image in mind, or the portrait in mind of that being, supports that the metta doesn't get too abstract, but it gets really connected with that particular being. So I'm just going to see if you have something to add.
So the only thing I'll add is that for some people, visualization is not their thing. And so that's fine. Like, there's no, like, what do you mean? See my, like, that just doesn't happen, and that's not a problem. So.
Okay. Thank you for now. I think it's time for a walking period.
And maybe one brief announcement. Oh. And as we, you know, hold this container together and care for each other. We did this beautiful compassion meditation, maybe for, you know, if you did that part for each other. One of the ways that we keep each other safe in this space is to not drink or eat in the dining room unless explicitly having given permission. So just notice if like you've forgotten that and then go to your room or you know, today you can go outside and have your tea. So yeah, thank you so much for that.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.